Sergeant Major JB. How's it going?
Good, Jason. How are you? Thanks for having me, buddy.
Hey, I'm glad to have you on. Before we get started, I want to give a really big shout out to a great organization out there supporting our warfighters after they come home, and that is Save the Brave. A big shout out, because the Protectors is now partnered with Save the Brave. So a little bit more details coming in the future about that, but check out Save the Brave. So we're just going to throw a quick thing up here and aboard. Savethebrave.org is their website. Thanks a lot. So, JB, got you on the podcast. We've been collaborating. What is going on tonight? You are out in the Vegas area, so we're a couple hours difference, 2-3 hours difference, so we're good.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's great. Glad to be here. I know a lot of the old men and women are coming into town and for the SHOT Show here next week. So it should be a little bit busy, but you know, glad to be here. Glad to be on your show, talk leadership, mental toughness, team building, and you know, use my military skills to, like you, you know, start a new career. Veterans should, you know, always inspire to, you know, do something different, use their skill set. And so, you know, I promote that. And I, you know, my main objective in my company, JBS Leaders. You can find me at my, you know, website, JBS Leaders, or at Instagram at JB Spizzo, S-P-I-S-S-O. You know, my goal is to help individuals, you know, become leaders.
And that's we were just talking, we chatted a few minutes before we hopped on, and that's the big thing about this year. And that's one thing I really want to promote out through the Protectors and through every other venture that I'm doing is leadership. And we have, as military veterans and as anybody in the LEO community or emergency responders, we have a specific sense of, it's like leadership and duty. It all kind of molds into together and the different traits. And that's what's cool. You've had a storied military career starting what, back in 1984, right?
Correct. 1984 to 2010. And it took me, you know, through obviously the Ranger Regiment, a drill instructor, West Point, OCS. Like it was, you know, and, you know, every phase I learned. And, you know, I think what military people, both, you know, enlisted and officer, forget is, you know, every time we're promoted, you know, we go to a school, we go to a leadership school, yeah. Whether it's, you know, PLDC, whatever it's called now, BNOC, and the officers, you know, as you know, both enlisted and officer, you went to different courses, and so those are all skills that, you know, we're learning, and, you know, we bring those skills to the civilian battle space. And I think it gives us an edge on what we do. And it gives us a sense of helping people.
No, absolutely, man. And, you know, I've been a Fed for, you know, 20 years now. And I've been doing a Lean Six Sigma stuff for a long time, federal government, everything, military. And all comes down to the old-fashioned military decision-making process. Sure. And it's almost like everything's a five-pound top order. It all has that kind of like the same core everything.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Wow. You went back to that MDMP, you know, decision-making process. You know, the 5 W's, who, what, where, when, and why.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So,
and it's, you know, when you deal with people that way, and I find in, you know, the job that I'm doing now, working with coaches, C-suite executives, athletes, up and coming business professionals, it's just giving them that understanding, the resources to be able to do that. You know, this is what I always say, you know it. Leadership is a learned trait. You're not born with it. Sure, there's some skills that whoever, you know, your primary caregiver has imprinted on you, but leadership is a learned trait. You learn it. And, you know, I always use the military academy, West Point, for an example. And you obviously went through, you know, an officer commissioning source. So, you know, that like you do this extensive recruiting to find this, you know, educated elite man or woman to bring to the academy. And then we have them there for 4, sometimes 5 years. They go to the prep school. And then at the end, we're like, wow, I hope we did enough. You know, we make them a lieutenant and we put them in charge of people. But every time this man or woman is being promoted, you know, we're sending them back to a educational training leadership school. So, you know, I had a young executive, up-and-coming executive, you know, he grabbed me a few months ago and he was like, you know, I just don't feel like I understand this full leadership thing yet. I said, you haven't learned it yet. It's okay. No. You're getting there.
And you might have the fundamentals. Yeah. You could say you're fundamentally, you grew up as, you know, leadership traits, but actually learning the whole process. And I always consider it this, you know, you do get a basic toolkit whenever you come out of any academy. It could be law enforcement, it could be any training academy, military, whatever. And then you build on that toolkit. I always consider that toolkit almost like an infantry fighting position. You're always improving on that fighting position. You know, like you're going to sit in there, you know, you're going to be there for the night. Hey, you know what? Improve it. You never know where it's going to happen. So the same thing with that toolkit is always improve it. Always move forward. And that's like, you know, infantry. I'm going to throw this all out there because it's not many times I get to talk to an infantry brother, but always move forward, you know, follow me. And that's one of the things about leadership. You always got to develop yourself and others.
Wow. I'm going to use that again, by the way. I'll give you credit. That's a great way of putting it, you know, improving your position. You know, I wrote this book, Warrior Leadership, Steps to Success.
Oh, we're going to get to that. Let's talk about that now. Yeah.
Well, but it's all small chapters. And then after each chapter, you know, I put a little takeaway, right? Like, so
perfect.
Three bullet point takeaways. And so a good friend of mine, retired infantry colonel, Andy Ulrich is call signs Rocky, full bird colonel, ranger, special force, like did everything. Like, you know, he read my book and he called me and he was like, and he's a West Point graduate, very bright. And he was like, I love your book. He goes, it's not theory. It's real life applicable data that somebody can use. And that's what I tried to do. And you're exactly right. It's like, how do I improve every single day to get better? And I look over like my military career and, you know, there were some times that I was the, you know, kick ass, break glass, take name sergeant, right? But I developed and molded into what I thought was a pretty confident and competent sergeant major. But, you know, that's an all a learning experience. So,
it is. And I'm glad you bring up that word learning. And I like to transition into the, you know, and that's one thing, as I mentioned before about the protectors, is having a positive year and having like a focused year. And that absolutely includes learning. Mm-hmm. You have to keep learning, whether that's read your book, read a book, always read YouTube. There's so much information out there, you know, just as well as I do. I mean, you were in the military in the 80s and the 90s as well. And back then we didn't have the internet. And it was like, you where to find information, you'd always get the correspondence courses or everything. You would just absorb it. But now there's just so much out there. And, you know, with the wars, we have so many lessons learned. And it's not just how to kill the enemy, how to capture the enemy or whatever. It's a lot of leadership lessons out there. And we need information.
Wow, you're exactly right. You know, the world, because of the internet, is flat. You know, I often tell the story, and people that listen to me know that, you know, when I joined the Army in 84, like I didn't know one Army unit from the next. Like you said, infantry, I was like, you know, what is that? And you know, because of my recruiter, I ended up going to the Ranger Regiment, having no idea what I was stepping into. Well, fortunately it worked out for me. But now the world's kind of flat, so people understand it. And they can look at things. And, you know, I think that, and as you know, you know, with veterans returning and everything else and post-traumatic stress disorder and all these other things, I will just say that war changes everybody. So I don't care what you do. I don't care if you're a gunfighter or, you know, you're doing paperwork in the camp, right? So
war
changes everybody. And that's the, you know, that's the key that like veterans need to understand, that like you and I obviously understand that. But they have such a skill set to bring back to the civilian community, such a skill set. And, you know, back in after World War II, you know, there was what, like 53% of the veterans were entrepreneurs. Yeah. And now it's like 3.9%. And you look at, there's almost, you know, since 9/11, it's got to be close to like 4 million veterans now. So like,
yeah, I think they were saying something like, you know, post 9/11 is what, 3% and 1% serving at any one time. Wow. So it's like, you know, it's a crazy small amount considering all the past wars and the drafts and everything else like that. Mm-hmm. But it's different. You know, it's different for us now because it's so in our face. But right. Then one thing about technology, it gives us access to social media. You and I can connect. I can connect to other leaders. You can connect to other soldiers, sailors, airmen, marine that are suffering, or ones that just want to, you know, find out what's out there. Mm-hmm. And that's where we have such a great opportunity with podcasts, with books, with corporations like JPS Leadership. You just have a lot of things out there where you can get the message of lessons learned, whether that is to the corporate environment. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was listening to some of your podcasts and it's amazing. Like I was like, I went on a run yesterday. I went on a run and I listened to one with like Dale Dye. And I was like, it was just an amazing podcast. And even from his generation, from Vietnam mm-hmm. till now. And even, you know, he's got a different thought process, which is fine.
Yeah.
But you look at today and, you know, I made a conscious decision in 2010 to hang up my guns and never go back mm-hmm. to them. And, you know, there were days that I was like, wow, whew, I got to make a mortgage payment here.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I said, nope, I'm not going to go work for, you know, an agency or Triple Canopy or something like mm-hmm. that. Though that's fine to do. I said, you know, this is what I want to do. And for me, you know, I had some civilian leaders that believed in me, right? Mm-hmm. That saw something in me and said, hey, you're pretty good at this. Like, stick with it. It's okay. And that's what I want to tell veterans. Like, you know, if you come out and, you know, you want to do something different, do it.
And you know what? An E4, E5 getting out of the service or whatever rank has some sort of ability to adapt to the corporate environment. Sure. And it doesn't just have to be corporations. It could be the tech field. It could be trades, sure. Anything. Because you know what it's like to get up at like 0:30 and go to bed at, you know, when it's dark. So, I mean, you're used to this, like this weird, hey, you know what? Drive on, drive on, drive on. So, I mean, all the time.
Yeah. And I think sometimes some veterans actually like, you know, downplay their abilities a bit.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. And they downplay their abilities. You know, even talking to a few veterans that I do CrossFit with, and, you know, one's a West Point, she's a West Point graduate. The other one's it was an Air Force captain. And just like talking about like what they're doing now. And I'm like, it's awesome what you're doing. Are you kidding mm-hmm. me? Like, this is amazing work. But because you are still in it, you know, the selfless service business. Mm-hmm. We don't care who gets the credit. We don't need any more badges or medals. We're good. And, you know, we just want to get the job done and we want to help others grow. And so when you take that attitude to a company, right? Like, look what's number one in companies today, culture, right?
Yep.
That's the military.
Mm-hmm. So. And that's why you're seeing a lot of these big companies are having huge veteran hiring initiatives because they want that culture in there. Right. And yeah, you are going to find some bad apples anywhere. You know, when you're talking millions of people, there's always some. But the overall majority is just some good people mm-hmm. who really downplay their skills. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing every time I help a vet out with a resume or anything, I'm like, look, you're an infantry squad leader. You are, you know, a supply crook. All of you done something huge, supply clerk, millions and millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars. They transfer to and fro through logistics. I mean, there's so much that you do that you never capitalize on.
Without a bed sheet coming up missing, right? Like,
exactly.
Without a bed sheet, you know.
Accountability. Like,
it's accountability of everything. A squad leader in charge of mm-hmm. 9 people, plus a machine gun team, plus this, plus that, plus, you know.
QAQC, right? QAQC, quality, you know.
It's exactly right. Yeah. And, you know, I feel that, you know, I found that, you know, the civilian community that hasn't served is like, they recognize what military people do. They mm-hmm. do. And, you know, and I think that's important to, you know, give to a proper fund, help people out. You gave that too. But I also think it's important. I tell these business leaders, and I get to speak at some of these high level banquets, and I tell them, like, I'm like, find a veteran, bring him into your network.
Yes.
Send him to school if you have to. And you'll be pleasantly surprised at how good that man or woman is.
And you brought the key word right there, your network, networking. Networking is absolutely it has to be one of your top priorities.
Has to be.
You know, you have to get out there and you got to talk to other people. You have to use LinkedIn. I know Taps is telling people, soldiers now, use LinkedIn, but use it the right way. Mm-hmm. Don't always have an ask. You should never start off with an ask. Make sure you build that network. So anybody out there, always build your network before you start asking.
Yeah. I talk about it all the time. I talk about executive growth network. And when I, you know, I do one-on-one life coaching for, you know, professionals, and I ask them, I'm like, okay, tell me about your executive growth network. And they're like, what? And we talk about it. And I'm like, okay, how are you building that? And, you know, and all you have to do is find one person to take you to something and introduce you. You know, I'm fortunate enough to, you know, here, you know, a good friend of mine and, you know, business associate, you know, Tom Power, like he takes me to these events. He's like, hey, we're going to go to this thing tonight. And I'm like, okay. You know, some guys run for Congress and he just says, hey, this is JB. He's a veteran, you know, and he just starts it and one or two words and they're like, oh, wow. And that's what, you know, I think sometimes veterans, we're afraid to network because we don't want to impose on anybody. You know, we don't want to feel like, oh, we're needy or anything else like that. But it's just learning and growing. So,
you know, it's right. And, you know, the broken veteran stereotype is slowly getting out of the mainstream. We're not, every one of us has PTSD and every one of us is broken. So when it's a tough stigma to break. Sure. Especially when you get into these corporate environments and you tell people some of the stuff you've done and it amazes them and they're like, really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we just have to learn.
Yeah. And okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I just said, that's why a lot of times, you know, veterans just like downplay your military service. Yeah. It's okay. You know, like I was in a company of heroes. So
yeah,
I was just glad there and, you know, not holding anybody back. So
I am so in awe of so many people I've served with. And then I know nowadays that it's tough to talk myself up that I don't even want to. I just feel like just honored and privileged to be around them and tell their stories. That's kind of what telling stories like yours and everything.
Thank you.
But hey, let's transition over to your book.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about Warrior Leadership. Yeah.
Yeah. Warrior Leadership.
Oh, show it up there.
There it is. Warrior Leadership. Steps to Success for Leaders on the Ground. You know, and I've been writing it for about 10 years, just little stories. There's no war stories or classified. It's basically things I've learned, you know, mistakes I've made.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I did is I started putting it together. And then again, you know, I tried to, it was very interesting. Your whole Dale Dye thing about, publishing. Cause see, I actually didn't know about that. So I jotted that down. So again, you know, I went to the big publishers, you know, everybody gives you the, sorry, we don't need that. I go, no, it's not a war book. It's a leadership self-help book. So through a veteran who's written 4 books, he said, hey, why don't you self-publish, call my editor. Let's get with her. And I found a great editor, Karen Cantrell is her name. And you know, she walked me through the process. I'm like, Karen, I can follow instructions. Tell me what to do. And she, you know, she sent me a spreadsheet. She's like, here's what you're responsible for. Here's what I'm responsible for.
Yep.
And, you know, next thing you know, now I have a book. And I also did a little, I also did a weekly action log.
Perfect.
And that action log, it basically helps you outline your week. And then you can go back and say, okay, what did I actually do? What did I didn't do? So, you know, just as if you're going to the gym and keeping a gym log, but this is for your life. And, you know, because you have to inspect what you expect. So this action log helps you do that. And then you can kind of track your small wins and go from there. So, you know, the book's been great. It's been selling. I'm getting, you know, great feedback. I wrote it for the emerging leader.
Yeah.
Whether you're in charge of four people or 40 people or 400 people. But a lot of executives have read it and they're giving me feedback. They're like, wow, this is perfect. I tabbed it. I handed it to somebody. A friend of mine who's a big CFO in Miami, like she made it mandatory read for all of her leadership. So she read it and handed it to them. They have to read it and sign it. So that's exactly what I was looking for. Short stories to help people find their own steps to success.
And everybody has a book in them. I don't care if it's just a personal book, 10 pages for yourself, a novella or whatever. Sure. But write and just write, edit later. And that's and I'm glad you made short stories because people always want a sense of accomplishment and they want that lessons learned. Oh, I want to go and read a book. I'm going to read your book. That's on my list. But I want to get something out of it. And now that you said that, you know, there's a lot of lessons learned. A lot of one of my favorite words now is ground truth. And wow. Now that, you know, you brought up lessons from the ground, because that's what corporate leaders need. That's what strategic leaders need. Mm-hmm. They need to know what's going on in the ground. Mm-hmm. And that's what they need. They need ground truth.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, sometimes what happens is, and you know, I'm fortunate enough to work with some, you know, big executive company owners, that sort of thing. And what happens is as they move up, sometimes they get, you know, surrounded in the Crystal Palace a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. So they got to get out of there. They got to walk the ground. They got to see it. They got to know it. You know, those are the things that find success. It was funny. I talked about Tom Power. I mentioned him again. You know, he owns his own company and, you know, he gets out on the floor and right away, like he's walking by something, a machine is doing something. And right away, like he knows it's not working right. Like he walks over because that's that subject matter expertise that, you know, you've learned. And then all of a sudden he, you know, grabs a people and says, hey, you know, you need to make this adjustment 2 degrees, something like that. And they're like, wow, brilliant. But you don't know that if you're sitting in the office. So
yes, you need to get out in the field. You know, in the bad guy world, I always tell people you can't put anybody in jail if you're sitting behind a desk. And that should be the same thing in the leadership world. You can't lead people behind your desk sending emails. You got to get out there. You got to talk to the ground. You got to see what's going on.
Sure. And that's all that servant leadership. You know, Dr. Greenleaf coined that in 70 and, you know, mm-hmm. people went crazy, but he just took the leadership pyramid and turned it upside down and said, you know, my job as the leader is to promote and help others. So
yes, absolutely. And that's what we need now. We need leaders that are going to promote their subordinates. Nobody wants to sit stagnant. I don't care what you say. Sure. You don't want to be in a stagnant career. That's either going to be, you're going to either move up or to decide. Right. So you got to continuously try to move.
Yep, exactly. And if you have an organization like that, you know, it's funny because, like, you know, people initially come to work. Why? Because, you know, they got to pay the rent. Right? They mm-hmm. got to eat. But they stay because of sense of accomplishment, culture, yes. winning, attitude. They're listened to. Like, people will take less money to stay somewhere because the culture is right. And you're exactly right. That's why companies are investing all this money into culture. What mm-hmm. is it, right? Everybody wants to find that culture where, you know, your voice is heard or it's at least listened to, you know? So, exactly.
And, you know, the corporate world always wants to streamline things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one thing right now. I'm a big fan of like the Lean Six Sigma. It's now Lean. Right. The organization I'm with calls it something different, but it's all basically just streamlining the process. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people it's not always about saving money. It's about saving your personnel's time because, mm-hmm. like, you know, time is money. You mm-hmm. know, work hours are money. And that's mm-hmm. one of the things about leadership is don't waste your people's time.
Sure. You know, a friend of mine's a CFO of a company. And, you know, years ago when I started doing this leadership and I was, you know, trying to sell them on, you know, quarterly leadership training. And he said to me, mm-hmm. you know, you know, have you heard the term, what if I pay for professional leadership training and my people leave? And I said, well, what if you don't and they stay?
Yeah.
And he was like, give me the contract.
And, exactly.
And I said, and so what if they leave? Because now they're going to go somewhere else and they're going to take that with you. They're going to go, somebody's going to go, where'd you learn that? I go, I learned it there. They're like, wow. Yeah.
So it's a ripple effect.
100%. You're helping people become a success. You're helping people find their passion. That's a good, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. And it's good. That's just leadership. Mm-hmm. That's core leadership 100%. Right there.
Core leadership, exactly.
And if you haven't learned that in your initial academy, your initial training, learn it now. Mm-hmm. Check out JB's book. Check out YouTube. There's tons. I mean, there's so much information. Just make sure it's vetted and valuable. The right. Two V's, vetted and valuable. So
that's good. You're right.
You know, I really appreciate you coming on. And time flies whenever you hop on a Protectors. We've already gone 25 minutes, so it's. Sounds I'm going to let you go tonight. But let's talk about something. Any organizations or anything you want to give a shout out to? Let's talk about your company real quick, and then.
Yeah. My company is JBS Leaders. You can find me on the website and veteran-owned company. And I try to, again, my goal is to build individuals into leaders. I do executive coaching, team building, leadership training, do one-on-one coaching as well too. And I try to assist you. I want to give you real things that assist you in becoming successful. So there you go. It's a good picture of me there. Actually, that picture was taken by Hugh Roberts, who was the former Ranger Regimental Sergeant Major, now turned photographer.
Oh, very cool.
How about that?
Tell him he needs to hop on a Protectors podcast.
I'm going to get him. It's so funny because then, of course, like any veteran, I tried to pay him and he wouldn't.
Good luck.
So I had to buy him a beer and dinner. But so that's it. That's what it's about. And, that's my passion to try to help people there. I can find a way to help people with mental toughness. Like mental toughness is a real thing. Your mind is just like your body. Like you have to strengthen it. Like you said, read, education, learning. If you don't do this, like that's your most powerful muscle in your body is your brain.
If you don't use it, you start getting those, and these especially for, 95% of my audience is in some sort of line of duty type job. If you don't use your brain and don't develop it or don't just do something with it, you get those dark days. Dark days that you can't get over. And that's kind of where a lot of that pressure comes from.
Sure. Yeah. It's so funny. I'll just tell you a quick little funny story over the holidays. My youngest daughter, Abra, was here visiting with her boyfriend, and she's, civil engineer, physics major. He's an environmental engineer in his PhD program. So we played Family Scrabble. And, last turn, I end up winning and going out and beating them like 2 points. Like you would have thought I hit the lottery because here's two super educated, smart people and I beat them at Scrabble because, that's a part of it. Learning, right? So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So anyway, so good.
Well, I appreciate it, brother. And we are linking up at SHOT Show.
Yep. That'd be great.
So I'll be seeing you next week.
Good.
And then, we'll have you back on the show soon. Again, we'll talk about something, whatever.
Okay.
We could have more people on the show at the same time. This is the new Protectors. It's a new year, awesome. Right?
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me. Thank you,
JB.
Jason.
Thank you.
Have a good day.